This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Mayday? I don't know. Oh, I'm here today. What do you know? It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett, David here as well. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, hello.
It's been an interesting few days. And Brett, you know a little bit about this. I'll just say this. First of all, thank you very much to yourself. John filled in last week, right?
Todd Mickelson.
Todd Mickelson. Thank you, Fireman. Todd Mickelson. Todd, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I had a little bit of a health scare. Don't want to necessarily get too much into it, but it was a health scare. It was legit. You know, Brett, I mean, have you ever seen a head pop out of a shoulder blade like that?
No.
What was I eating? Damn you, Arby's. No.
No more Big Montanas for you.
Oh, God, man. They have the meats, and apparently they're kind of genetically modified. I did have a bit of a health scare, and I made the decision. And this is something that I've been dealing with for a while here. I was supposed to have hip replacement surgery late in April, and in April, when I went to have it, the doctor said, we can't have this. We got another underlying problem here. We got to figure it out. And it took them a month. And they finally figured it out. But last week, it got to a point where it was so bad, I actually had to advocate, put me in the hospital now. And they did. And I'm very unbelievably glad they did. Needless to say, I mean, I got pinholes all over me, man. Pinholes all over me. They tested a lot, I want to give a lot of credit to Daladin, Moore, Stewart, the doctors I dealt with, fantastic. The entire nursing staff over at Methodist, I'd been over there. As a matter of fact, the entire staff over there, and unbelievable. Unbelievable. They helped me figure out what's going on, and considering... There's that question that you go in and you know something is really wrong. And you start running the numbers. You start saying, okay, what could this be? And the problem I kept coming up with and the thing that was scaring me quite a bit is most of the problems I kept coming up with as could be were very serious. The good news is that's why you don't Google MD yourself. Okay, that's why you don't. You know, let's see here, fourth wing. No, that's not me. You know, it's one of those things.
Black plague.
No, damn it, bubonic plague again. Actually, don't kiss the groundhogs in South Dakota. You'll get that. True fact.
Really?
Yeah, it's a law.
I suppose you can't cuddle them either.
Well, like, you know, buy them a little chickens. Dinner, leave me some flowers, you know, those prairie nights are kind of nice. It's nice to be back. Anyway, but you don't WebMD yourself. You go get there and find out. And what I found out is this. I've got a treatable disease that's got a finish line and a course of action, which is the good thing. My voice does sound weird. And just weirder than usual. How about I say it like that? There are going to be some weird things. There was some odd things going on. I'm just going to say I'm working through it. Thank you very much. I had a lot of people say some very, very nice things. The station here has been exceptional to me. The hospital has been exceptional. And I'm glad to be back. And glad to be back. Because there's a few things I want to say before we get into this. Now, reminder, it is a Wednesday, so I got the perpetual annoyance that is Jeff Stein joining us here at 4:30. Of course, your calls, you're more than welcome to call as well, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The first thing I want to make sure I say is that there is a very important lesson that, as I've gotten older here, and a lot of people have learned this over time. And you learn it whether you're dealing with your spouse, yourself, a family member, child, a parent, a grandparent. And that is simply one thing. When it comes to your medical experience, you have to be an advocate for yourself. You have to be an advocate for yourself. It's not that the system is broken. It's that you need to take advantage of that system in front of you. And what I mean by that is this, is that, you know, and I've talked numerous times here. I've talked about this during the pandemic. I've talked about this during medical. We've talked about medical issues. The problem today with our hospitals is not the medicine. I mean, medicine in the United States, and especially in this town, is insanely good. Is insanely good. The quality of care you can get is amazing. The doctors in Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's a very hard competition to become a medical professional in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or a nurse, or even a nurse's assistant, or even work in some of these major hospitals. These are tough jobs to get because the demand is for the top of the line. It's the management of the system. And I've always been, you know, some guy sitting in a corporate boardroom who really doesn't care too much about whether who lives and who dies, setting policies for hospitals that these hospitals have to follow. That's the problem. And I've always been, and I still stand that way. And I am grateful and I'm lucky and incredibly lucky that through my jobs and my family, we have the health insurance that we have, and we're able to get treated like this. But at the same time, you have to be an advocate for yourself. You absolutely have to be an advocate for yourself. And if you don't, what ends up happening, things can go a lot worse. And it wasn't that we weren't advocating. It was, to a point, a little bit frustrating how hard we had to push to get things moving down the right line. And it wasn't that there was, I mean, trust me when I say this, this wasn't a situation where the doctors didn't see the need. It just was they had to kind of come through, and under the draconian rules that they are under to try to get someone admitted, they have to figure it out. And they did. And, you know, like I said, the doctors, gold. Dr. Moore, Dr. Stewart, Dr. Daleiden, gold. Bank on them all day long. Another thing that I thought was very interesting is right now it's hard to get a hospital bed. And the first thing I asked one of the nurses, I think her name was Susie, and I said, is this Corona? Is this still the pandemic? She said, no, this is a year's worth of backlog medical procedures. And they are, give you an idea, a lot of times if you can go to the emergency room and there's a need for you to get a room, it's going to be hours before you get a room because they just don't have the rooms, because they have so many people that put off procedures that have to have them done now, or they've manifested themselves into much larger issues. And so, yeah, that's an interesting side note as well. Absolutely. That's a very interesting side note as well. So you want to keep that in mind if that's the case. But the one story I want to share, because this is sad. So I am checked in the hospital. This is, I believe it was Friday morning of last week. And I'm getting wheeled down for a procedure. And, you know, and just the way the hospital runs, they call a transport, who is a person that brings either a wheelchair or a gurney or whatever they need. Or if you can walk, they'll kind of assist you down. And they bring a transport person up, and this woman comes on up, and she's wearing a hijab, a headscarf. Lovely woman. Started talking. She says, sounds like we got a busy day. And I said, yes, I do. You know, very nice. Just wonderful. I get on the gurney. By the way, lots of dignity there. Start wheeling down the hallways. We're waiting in an elevator, and the woman who's transporting me tells me, I need you to go into room blank. And the woman says, why? She said, they won't let me in her room. And I look up, and I was like, okay, whoa, no, really? I said to myself, okay, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe they have a favorite transportation person or something. I don't know. Nope, the entire family will not let me in the room. So someone else needs to go in there and transport her. Yeah. Why don't you wheel me down to that room? Why don't we go down? I got a few words for that room. You want to just slowly go by? I'll do a drive-by shouting at their room. I want to let them know what I think about that attitude. The woman didn't cry. The woman wasn't sad. The woman shrugged. You could tell there was frustration. She's there to help. Her entire job is to help you. And they're saying, no. Likely because they're a bunch of bigots. You're in a hospital. You need medical care. One of the things I was amazed by, and I thought it was just one of the coolest elements of my hospital stay, is how every corner of the freaking globe is represented in a hospital. I mean, every corner of that globe was there. There were people of all nationalities, races, religions, and creeds working in unison together to help other people. Dear Lord, freaking utopia. And you are there and you need help. And you're so broken. So damaged and so lost that someone comes to you and says, I'm here to help you get to a needed medical appointment. And you say, now. Just go. Find some field like an old dog and just roam into it. Eventually fall. Because why are you there? Why should we care when this is your standard? This is your false idea of a moral stand, you idiots. Just don't go. I mean, if you're that terrified of a minority or a Muslim, my God. Presuming she's Muslim. There's many different religions that actually wear headscarves, and you know, it just could be one of them. But you are officially, and the entire family. I mean, I just, every person that came in, the person that was bringing me my food, thank you. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. You know, I felt bad when I had to, you know, can I get an ice water? Because you can't really go get an ice water. They don't have vending machines. They need more vending machines. You know, like maybe a malt machine, maybe a frosty machine right on the hallway. Make hospitals a little bit better. Maybe a coffee bar. Ah, oh, it'd be nice. But they don't have that. So if you need a water or anything like that, you have to ask someone. Always grateful. Always grateful. Woman comes in at 4 o'clock in the morning saying, I got another, take another 16 valves out of you. What? okay, thanks, I guess. I was grateful to everyone that was in there. And the idea, just the notion that these people exist, enabled by the last 4 years, to allow that racism flag to fly and think that that's some sort of, you know, moral fiber. You disgust me, you pigs. You disgust me. I've seen the future. The future's not racism. It isn't. Don't get me wrong. It's an ugly element of humanity that it will reap its head and come clawing back at times. And it's just something we have to deal with. But we've dealt with it before. Kick the Confederates' ass. Kick the Nazis' ass. We'll do it again. But your days are over. If you are that broken as a human being, there's no prayers I can have for you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I got thoughts on Memorial Day. I got to mention that really quick when I come back. And Stein coming up. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. So I've determined the voice is kind of right now smoking Chicago uncle. We'll have to see if this holds up, or will I be the full Lucille Ball by the end of the show?
I was going to go with the hockey dad who's been yelling at the rink the entire day.
That's a midpoint. Lucille's way down on the end, man. Hey, kids, who wants some hard candy? You know, 952-946-6205. Okay, so I did want to mention two things I also did, and I just one thing that just is bugs me greatly because of Memorial Day. And I hope you had a nice Memorial Day. I know I'm a little late. I did make some tributes, obviously, on Monday. And myself, I did make two sojourns, as a matter of fact. I couldn't pass up. I needed to get, after being in the hospital for a few days, I needed some color. I went out to the Arboretum. The azaleas were all in bloom. The irises were all in bloom. Took tons of photos. I'll get some of those photos up a little bit later on. I've been editing them, and they look real nice. Maybe some for next the next calendar. We'll have to look into that. Okay, but that being said, I also took time on Veterans Day to go on out to one of the veterans memorials, and this one, of course, was in Richfield. If you've not been out, it's 64th and Portland. It's actually quite a lovely memorial. It's a very well done. It's got a lot of character to it. The design of it is very nice, very pretty, very, very pretty. And I was out there, and I was looking around, and of course, obviously, I was there a little bit later in the day because I mean it's still taking me a little time to get around right now. But I got out there and I start looking. Now, I know my eyesight is not good. I have to have driver's glasses for driving long distances, stuff like that. I know that. But I have to tell you the truth. I was a little surprised when I said, does my vision make Minnesota look, the word Minnesota look upside down? We're on Memorial Day at the Veterans Memorial. Memorial Day at the Veterans Memorial. And someone had hung the Minnesota state flag upside down. And I kept looking at it and I said, is there just some way that could have accidentally flipped? No, it didn't look like it. It's just some fool who didn't really look what they were doing on Memorial Day at the Veterans Memorial, had decided to hang the Minnesota state flag upside down. So the first thing I said to myself, and in this day and age, you have to ask the question, is this some sort of stupid political statement? He's got the state shut down with coronavirus. I'm going to show him state in distress. Gotcha, Governor Walz. Zinger. Shut up, you self-centered idiot. If that was the case, I'm not going to say it is. It's either massive incompetence or massive ignorance. It's one of the two. Or it is a political agenda. But needless to say, come on. Now, it's Memorial Day. Red, white, and blue. That's the flag that's flying over our country. That's the one I'm saluting. But I'm also a Minnesota boy. And once again, the second largest Union Memorial at Gettysburg after Pennsylvania, which, let's face it, hometown rules, you know. You know, that home, the Pennsylvania guys get the home field. That's why they get the biggest one. But the second biggest one is Minnesota. Because on July 2nd, 1863, Minnesota saved the Union. We did. A few hundred of our guys, a few thousand of their guys, we kicked their ass. We got your flags. You can't have them back. Ha ha. Largest loss in a single unit that still stood at the end of the battle in the history of U.S. fighting. The Minnesota First lost so many people that day, but the unit stood because they beat them back, outnumbered massively. Well, I'm no expert on Memorial Day, but sure seemed like that would be a nice little memorial, doesn't it? Honoring Minnesota on that day. Yeah, no, I know. There are a few other battles, too. We did pretty well at Nashville, I'm going to be honest there. Always big fan of the Sherman March, too. Man, just breaking Georgia right over his knee. Love that. Love that. But come on. I think that's the main point. That's the main point of the whole thing. Come on, guys. Come on. Someone needs to go on out. And maybe I'm a little bit iffy after the whole thing with the rogue legionnaire stealing the U.S. Minneapolis's bell and the U.S. Minnesota's wheel and giving it to a high school so they could celebrate their bench press wins. Maybe I'm a little jaded right now about that. That's kind of set me off on a little bit of an angle. But come on, man. It's Memorial Day. The place looks good. Spiffy it up. Make sure the flags are flying upright. And if this was a political statement, make sure you basically get whoever that fool was and get them out of the way. All right? I think that's a little bit of an important thing. And I hope everyone had a good Memorial Day. As a veteran myself, U.S. Army, I was very happy to get out there and seeing a lot of my people I served with that got recognized. And of course, all the people who served throughout the history of this country. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. I'm glad I needed to get that in. As a veteran, that's kind of veteran credit. Got to get that in, even though I'm late. Plus, I got Azalea pictures, too. It's the little things.
The little things.
It's the little things. Speaking of little things, Jeff Stein. Sorry. Jeff Stein will join us.
We think now.
I don't know. He might not be. Jeff Stein will join us, national and presidential expert, after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Jeff Stein segment here. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You find his books at Next Chapter Books, as well as also TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Business Reports, the daily show he does down in Iowa, along with the Iowa Politics Report at KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, so good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing better, my friend. I'm glad to hear. I'm very glad to be able to talk to you as well. I get out of the hospital, and the first thing I'm excited about reading is the Trump blog, and oh.
You've had a bad run. You did not need one other disappointment like this, did you?
Boy, that didn't last long.
Let's look at the number of days, because I just saw it. I believe it was 29. I'm sorry.
So
29
four
days.
Four Scaramucci's. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Math.
He is so in your head.
Oh, God. Who? Scaramucci?
That's who I meant. Sure it is. Yeah.
I found it funny because the first one, when I first heard that he was going to start a blog, I said, Trump's going to blog. I mean, most bloggers I know don't like writing. Trump, it's going to be just man, woman, TV. I was like, okay, that's not going to last long. It sounds like, I don't know, is he going over to the Frank thing, the Mike Lindell thing, Frank?
Well, did that ever actually do anything besides the opening day?
Not really.
Okay.
These guys are not doing well.
No. And this is the thing that's interesting. If you're Trump and you declare you're going to do something, you kind of have to do it. And so he's talked about having a new social media platform. And for most of us, we think that's Twitter, Facebook, you know, that sort of thing. The stuff that he's been banned from, right?
Yes.
So he was going to develop that. Well, then this was kind of the, well, this is what it'll look like, sort of, kind of. It's just a start. So now they say, oh, well, that's kind of peripheral. And we're still going to do the platform, but it's getting, well, here's what it's doing. He was getting in trouble because he can't get out of his own way. Remember at the White House, and the current administration's doing this? Every prior administration I can remember did it other than the Trump administration. There would be a message of the day, not styled like that, but if they wanted to talk about infrastructure, everything they did that day focused on infrastructure. If it was taxes, everything they did focused on taxes. The White House communication staff had a plan, and then Trump would tweet something at 6:30 in the morning and blow up their day.
Yeah.
Because he would be bigger than whatever it was they had planned. And so here they are trying to be taken seriously as a force in the 2022 midterms, and then he would post something on this from the desk of Donald J. Trump, and it got more attention than the quote-unquote substantive work that his people were doing. And so basically they took it down because he was screwing up their plans.
Well, you know, for conservatives, and whether it's Trump or Lindell or this, I think the idea of launching a, and let's call it what it is, a replacement for Parler, because they liked Parler, but Parler got taken down.
Right.
It's similar to kind of, and you know, it's kind of a nerdy reference here, but the problems they had with the DeLorean in the Back to the Future. On one time, and one time it's, oh, it's, we don't have plutonium. On one time, we need gasoline. We need to get it up to 88 miles an hour. How are we going to do this? The problem is that this idea that you just start a brick and mortar building, you go in there and you start a website. You start a social media site. They don't understand that, you know, they keep getting caught up on the fact that, you know, you have to have a distribution. Well, none of the major sites are going to distribute you unless you have parameters in place that prevent hate speech. And, you know, if you want to be, you know, 8chan, you can go be 8chan. But the reality is if you want to be on iPhones and you want to be on all the smart devices, you have to have filters in place, which they don't want to have. And so then it becomes a problem of how do I do this? And so they keep trying to find some way to get the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour. But the reality is they're just like all of a sudden a new problem pops up. And eventually what I think is going to have to happen is they're going to realize is that unless they start one from scratch, which has those safeguards and parameters in place, they're just not going to be able to do it.
It is a lot easier to say, I'm going to start a competitor to Twitter than to actually do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this is the thing. And you're right. They wanted to have their own version of Parler because the folks who put that up got outsmarted by Amazon Web Services, et cetera. But, you know, if Trump were on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, then, you know, they wouldn't need this. So, yes, they're trying to develop all of this from scratch. But if you look at all of these different things that have come up, these different platforms in the past 12 months alone, you've got Gab and you've got MeWe and you've got, I don't know, the silliest names in the world.
Yeah.
Is that why? I don't know. It sounds like, you know, gang names. Well, in any case, none of them are very good. They're fine, right? But none of them is getting traction like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, the third to a lesser degree than the first two. So they're trying to build this infrastructure. And you use, Matt, very correctly, the analogy of a building. Okay, so Trump, Mr. Builder guy, right? That was the reputation. This is not the same as buying a piece of property, getting materials, and building yourself a building and putting your name on it in gold. Yeah. You know, you've got to have a whole network, a whole infrastructure, and A, it takes a long time to get the pieces to do that by yourself, and B, to your point, no one's going to rent you space. And that's part of the problem that Frank has had. That's the problem that that this site that Trump's trying to launch has had. And I do wonder then if they got some pushback from their current web host for DonaldJTrump.com, which is where the From the Desk of Donald J. Trump blog was housed. I wonder if they got a little pushback and was like, you want to have this website where you can rake in all sorts of money through donations? Then maybe you should knock this other thing off before it turns a month old. I don't know, but maybe.
Let's talk about whether what his strategy should be, because now I have, once again, there's a lot of Republicans that love him and mm-hmm. want to push him forward. There's a lot of Republicans that are tolerating him, but down deep inside are terrified of him. And then there are a lot of Republicans that don't like him. But the reality is that the further we get into the Biden administration, and I'll pull this up as we speak here, but the further we get into the Biden administration, the you know, Biden is still running a fairly decent approval rating, 53.4 as of today. This is up on 538. Mm-hmm. So he is, you know, still well, you know, far exceeding Trump at this point in this. I mean, there's a lot of Republicans, especially the moderate Republicans, that, you know, are really okay with Biden. I don't think he's not nearly as extreme as they were promised. And, you know, he talks about infrastructure, which is stuff that, you know, that kind of wins over the middle. Mm-hmm. And so you get this. So the question then becomes, Trump's going to go back on the road. As a matter of fact, he's going to show up via video screen at Mike Lindell's big thing up here. Big shindig he's going to do, and doing a bunch of them across the country. I mean, the question is, in your mind, I mean, he can. I mean, he says he wants to run. He's not going to win another term. I mean, let's just be honest about it. He wouldn't win another term at this point. But he thinks he wants to because he wants to stay relevant. And you and I have talked about that for years. The question then becomes is, if you're the Republican Party, do you just sort of say, you know what, why don't you just take the state fair circuit and leave the political circuit to us?
Well, first of all, you have the reserved seat for the Lindell event, right?
You're
there. Right?
Well, me and a bunch of TikTokers, yeah, we got all those tickets, man. We're fine.
Did you ever in your life think you would on the radio say the phrase, me and a bunch of other TikTokers?
Oh.
I'll just lay that out there. But all right, with regard to Trump. And I always hate these phrases, if it were held today, the nomination process, he'd get the nomination. And again, to your point, there are a lot of Republicans who think that's the worst thing possible. I don't know. Now, see, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I was the one who said he would pull out before the 2016 caucuses in Iowa because he wanted to be undefeated, right? I mean, he wanted to get out before any bad stuff stuck to him. Well, lo and behold, he got a following, and no, he didn't win Iowa, but we all know what happened from there. So, what I'm about to say may be just hokum, but my sense is he wants to be relevant, and his level of relevance is to get vengeance against Republicans who voted against him.
Yes.
By trying to primary them in 2022, that's step one.
Yes.
Step two is to still be the big figure so that no one else has time to get in. And then he bails, does not run at the, in essence, the last minute, maybe even, Matt, the summer of 2023.
Wow.
And then there's precious little time except for someone he hand selects, like Ron DeSantis, maybe a few others. Pompeo is sure trying. He's not shy about, you know, if he's pretty much going to start getting mail in Iowa. I don't know. I mean, it's Secretary of State here.
No. Hey, is Pompeo? You cut out a little bit there. Pompeo spending a lot of time in Iowa right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut out. It's obviously the sinister forces of the interwebs. No, Pompeo's coming back to speak at a big event. He has been here more than once.
Dear Lord.
And again, what he's trying to do is to say, this is what they're all trying to do. Whether it's DeSantis, whether it's Pompeo, Pence, who, you know, got himself a little steering committee and everything, but is just quietly cashing money, all right? What they're trying to do is to say, if you liked Trump's policies but you didn't like Trump, I'm your guy. And DeSantis has got to get reelected first, and that's not going to be easy in Florida next year. Pompeo's got nothing to do but go around the country and start talking up himself. And Pence, again, is trying to rehabilitate a bit of reputation, and again, they're all looking for that mantle. But again, it assumes that Trump doesn't run. Because the problem is, if you're a Republican and Trump runs, he's probably going to get the nomination, and you don't want to get in the way, and you're just willing to let your party go down again, arguably.
Your first point is absolutely spot on. His number one priority is revenge. Yep. He wants revenge on anyone that voted against him, anyone in, and this is why I think that he is really dangerous for the Republicans as a whole, because when you get to that point, it's not about the political ideology, because frankly, there are some districts that are held by moderate Republicans where a moderate Republican has to be there. So you can't run a Trump Republican there. You're just kissing that seat goodbye. And if the Republicans are going to have any chance of picking up the House in 2022, they can't lose some of those moderate seats. But right. The reality is that is just – this is that dude's id. The most important thing is vengeance, and he doesn't care. I will also say – his mounting legal problems and legal bills are another major problem for him. But at the same time, that alone, I think, if I'm a Republican, I pull him aside and say, you know, if this is all about just bad-mouthing anyone that voted against you, you know, can you just save the party and just go hit the state fair circuit?
Okay, well, keep in mind, he's not a Republican,
yes.
So he doesn't care. He ran as a Republican because that was the path. All right, in order to win.
Yes.
Secondly, what Republican is going to go up and say, Mr. President, with all due respect, get out of the way? That ain't going to work well, right? He's not going to, you know, there's not going to be a Nixon moment where people go to the White House and say, Mr. President, it's over. We've counted the votes. You have a very different person here. He's not a politician. He's a street fighter. So you're not going to tell him to get out of the way. The thing that's interesting, and you and I talked about this last week, this grand jury. If I understand correctly, it's a 6-month term that they've been seated for. 6 months. So in terms of having something hang over your head, it's going to be all through this summer. It's going to be into the Thanksgiving Christmas season. And if the grand jury is extended, which can happen, in other words, we're not done yet, they are extended into calendar year 2022 of the midterm election. That's an interesting thing. In other words, if this is still hanging, then it's still hanging, right? If, in fact, there are indictments, is it better that they come before calendar 2022 or early in the year when he might have more of an impact on primaries that are held in the spring and summer? So some of this, and I'm not suggesting, please don't anyone misunderstand, I'm not suggesting the grand jury is merely a sham for political purposes. I'm talking about the practical application of it. And if they say it's a 6-month thing, that's hanging there for us to talk about every week for 6 months and potentially more.
One thing I'm going to correct you on, though. He's not a street fighter. Donald Trump is a street fighter, goes out there and throws a punch. Donald Trump is the guy that basically promises everyone the world. When people come back to the promises that he has made, he says, well, I'm just not going to give it to you. He's a charlatan. And there's a difference between the two of them. I mean, there are street fighters out there, and I'm not saying Democrats are. I'm not saying this. But to label Donald Trump a street fighter is a joke.
You know, and that's a fair point. Would you go with me that I was making the comparison of Nixon was a political calculation guy.
Yes, yes.
And Trump is not.
And neurotic. So
that's, yeah. And, see, I was right with you, and then boom, you slide neurotic. All right.
Oh, he was, though. There's a psychological evaluation somewhere within our government agencies. I would love to read at some point on that. Now, I understand what you're saying. In regards to Trump, and the question now is this. I mean, listen to the names you just said. DeSantis, Pompeo, Pence. Uh-huh. I mean, and Kristi Noem. I know Nikki Haley. I mean, yeah. these are names out there that get thrown out there. But, you know, is there anything there? There's no excitement there. You know, it's very reminiscent of cases in the past where, you know, and pick the year where, you know, one of the parties just doesn't have anyone that's really resonating.
And you then have 24 people running. No, that's an excellent point, because when you look at some of these fields, and you and I have talked about this for a generation or more now. I mean, you had small children at the time, and now, you know, they're checking out legal options to put you away. But and I'll sign on. But the when you look at some of these fields and you say, well, that really? That's presidential? Well, you know these politicians are looking around going, well, if she's good enough to run, I damn well sure am, and et cetera, et cetera. Here's why there's not much excitement. Nobody wants to publicly endorse non-Trump candidates because if Trump does run, they don't want to get caught up in that. They don't want to face his ire. They don't know how bad it is, but they don't want to take the chance. And so you don't see a lot of people just, you know, lining up behind Pence or Pompeo or Haley or whomever because of the fact that, you know, Trump is still there until he says no. And quite honestly, if Trump declares he's not running, I don't trust it. If he declares in early 23, I'm not going to be a candidate, it's not a Lyndon Johnson moment. 6 months later, he'll say, well, you know, I didn't want to run, but I have to. There's nobody else here. Yeah. And so that would not surprise me in the least either. By the way, can you confirm the Mike Lindell left Kristi Noem hanging in Tennessee and she had to find her own way home story?
It sounds like that's true. I didn't have time to follow up on it, but it sounds like, hey, you went on a flight to Tennessee? Well, bye.
The story I saw was that Lindell offered her a ride on his private company jet, and then once he got booted out of the governor's meeting for whatever reason, then he just said, well, okay, I guess I'm going to go home. And she's standing there, you know, like with her bag in hand at the airport. I don't know if that's true, but it's getting enough traction, and I don't think anybody's denied it. But, oh, golly, what a story that is, huh?
Did you see the Dominion story where they basically said he can't separate himself from MyPillow? They're going to take that company from him. That's a very solid argument that when he lost his regular Twitter feeds, he went to the MyPillow Twitter feeds and started putting stuff out there. He can't separate that out. They're going to take the pillow. I'm going to guess Dominion's going to get the pillow company.
I have no idea, and I've said it before. I don't care about politics. It's a darn fine product. That being said, I'm not at the payroll. I'm just telling you. I bought it. It's good. Okay. When he started using the company account, now I don't know how the company is set up. Obviously, I mean, I don't know. Is he a shareholder in a corporation? Is it? But he is so linked with the company that even if there is a legal fiction, there's a way for that to be breached. And to your excellent point, when he started tweeting political things on the MyPillow official account, you know, as a lawyer, you just opened the door for me, dude.
Yeah, you did.
And you know, I seem to recall he had after he got famous, he had a very brief marriage, and that may have led to restructuring of the company to try to keep it away from people. But again, the difference here is he tweeted on their account and they lost their account at least for a period of time. I don't know if they have it back or not.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Flynn Gosar, we got to talk about them. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual week Wednesday visit, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual visit. Jeff, former General Flynn made a very undeniable statement. He was asking why we couldn't have a coup like they had in Myanmar here. He's tried to do damage control, but once again, this is one of those things where these guys get in these insulated groups, QAnon, their strongest advocates who want that red meat. These guys have no problem throwing it out there. All of a sudden realize they've been recorded, and then all of a sudden insist that no one else is understanding. Needless to say, I have been very impressed with the response from the military, which has basically said, you said what now? And I think, you know, there comes a point, and I'm going to tie this in with Representative Gosar, who apparently was working with someone in Nevada, a high-level person in Nevada, and texting them about trying to basically stop the recount in Arizona there, very like a Brooks Brothers, you know, protest sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you cross that line to where you have to say a former general, a sitting congressman, the behavior is now, it's not just a difference of opinion. It's not just different politics. It's not firebrand rhetoric. It's anti-American treasonous actions. Where is that line?
Well, it sure moves, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
and
does.
I don't say that being flip. I mean, it moves because of the fact that we now are in a very different world where we have all of this ability to speak and be heard and be accurately reported. You know, if you think about it, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have someone like General Flynn speaking at a podium and being recorded. You'd have somebody who, because you didn't have a camera, you didn't have Facebook Live, you didn't have all of this, and he would just, it would be he said, she said kind of thing. The thing that I find is really interesting, he is behind a movement to organize college students politically. That is his new thing. And so, this is not a good way to get that kicked off by any stretch. And again, it's one thing for me to say there ought to be a coup. I never served in the military. I have no right license or title. I don't know what I'm talking about. You served. Thank you for doing that. He served. I'm appreciative for his service. When a general says something like that, it's more than just coffee talk by some guy who's never served. And again, when he's doing it in a deliberate attempt to shape young minds, impressionable young people, yikes.
Right? I think there's part of this is the inertia. I really do think a lot of these people thought that on January 6th there was going to be this massive rise up of military people and join them, and that this was going to become something far larger. And they're sitting here saying, okay, that never did happen. You talk about young people. I think that that's part of it too.
Could be. It could be. And again, the misunderstanding, and I don't want to come across as everything on January 6th was Donald Trump's fault. No, not everything was. But he had such a fundamental misunderstanding of the Electoral College, if you believe half of what he supposedly said to Mike Pence and then said publicly about Pence standing up to stop the vote of the Electoral College. That was just fancy and fiction from the start. But if believers believe it because, well, look, a person in authority said it, it must be so. Well, then you have logical outcomes from that, do you not?
Yes, it did. Jeff Stein, once again, books are available over at Next Chapter Books. I highly get them. Perfect Father's Day gift. There you go. Also, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Politics Report. We'll get that posted up a little bit later on. Jeff, great talking with you, man. I'll talk to you next week, okay? All righty. Hour two. We're back right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, fresh off the iron lung. Hey, who needs a refresher sponge bath? In case you missed it, I had a little bit of a medical crisis. But I'm doing okay, although the voice, David is working with me now. David, I think we've moved past smoking Chicago Uncle to more 1930s gangster from a movie. Hey, tell you what, guys, you go round up the crew. We're going to go tell them, send them a message. You know, one of those things. It's starting to, I'm working through it. I'm working through it. How are you today?
I'm good. You sounded good, Matt.
Yeah. Well, obviously, your first day on the job, the sucking up you don't need to do. I already know my lot in life, man. But good news for you, since you are back here, and since I've been categorizing stories here for us to talk about. We got Animal Roundup. We have not done Animal Roundup in a long time. It's Animal Roundup time right here on AM 950. First of all, hello in Chaska. A black bear has been spotted wandering around the neighborhood in Chaska this week, catching the attention of plenty of residents. Now, once again, I'm presuming black bear means a black bear, not some sort of pseudonym for hot, studly man running around with short fur. I mean, you don't know. Cougar, dingo. You don't know at this day and age. But I'm just going to presume this is a bear, so don't try to pick it up. It's been a pandemic. I mean, your options are limited. Okay, we might understand it, but a black bear has been spotted. No. All right. Matt has to walk it back already. That didn't take long. Do not try to have relations with the bear. A black bear has been spotted wandering around the neighborhoods of Chaska this week, catching the attention of plenty of residents. The bear has been spotted at the Points West neighborhood near Engler Boulevard and Highway 212 in Chaska for the past few days, with several residents in the area saying on social media they've spotted the bear. Chaska resident Andy Olson told Bring Me the News he and his neighbors saw the bear wandering around Prescott Court around 8:45 on Tuesday. That would be p.m., a little nighttime action. Olsen said he didn't see the bear do much, adding, it looked lost, if anything. It's in Chaska. Okay, now I'll say this, and I've said this about the river downtown Minneapolis. There's enough wilderness on all these river areas. There's clearly bears down in there. You got to be careful. But the bear being lost in Chaska, I've been there, man. I have. Our police officers and firefighters responded to the call about the bear sighting and monitored the bear and its movements. City Communications Manager Kevin Wright told Bring Me the News, adding they informed residents about the recent bear sightings and shared tips how to get the bear to move on. The bear was spotted again Wednesday morning, according to Next Door Post. Oh, good. The Chaska Police Department says Tuesday it received reports of bear sightings in the area, is asking people to allow the Minnesota DNR advice to help the bear move on. But that's not the only wild critter alert for you today. The Wildlife Science Center is pleading with the public to remain calm and understanding as they search for what is presumed to be one remaining escaped wolf in the area. This is up in the Stacy area. Four wolves escaped their enclosure in Stacy, Minnesota. The Science Center, the morning of Thursday, May 27th, Animal Care Coordinator Megan Beckel told Bring Me the News, the days since have been a race to find them and bring them back safely. Unfortunately, two have already perished. One was struck by a car Saturday, suffered a broken back. The team had to euthanize him. Another is presumed dead, likely shot and killed after the rescue team heard gunshots following a brief sighting, Beckel said. Wednesday morning, however, brought some good news. A call led them to a one-year-old subadult just off of Highway 22. The capture crew darted him, followed him until he lost consciousness around 10 a.m. I think that's how they take care of a lot of those guys up there in Stacy. Just, you know, dart them, put them down, drag them home. I can't even describe our emotions, Beckel said, describing the rescue of the subadult as rejuvenating after days of challenges. That leaves one escaped wolf remaining, a five-year-old known endearingly as Gigantor. Okay, I want to go back on this story a little bit here, because the first line of this is the Wildlife Center pleading for the public to remain calm and understanding as they search for a missing wolf. Oh, and by the way, that wolf is a five-year-old gigantic one called Gigantor. Yeah, hey, just be calm around Gigantor. Yeah, he's got a heartwarming name called the Inviscerator. Oh, God, he'll gut you where you stand. He'll, boy, but don't be worried. Yeah, he's a monster dog that will, you know, rip out your throat. Gigantor is just a cuddly little, it's Gigantor. Gigantor, known endearingly as Gigantor. You might want to revisit that name, I'm just going to say. It's like a Mel Brooks film. Seriously, it's like a Mel Brooks. I want everybody in town to know, you don't have to worry about Gigantor. Yeah, he's a monster. But you just leave Gigantor be. We all should be safe from Gigantor. Really? Apparently, just Godzilla coming into town looking for some purses or something like that, I'm going to guess. Beckel said he's been spotted in the area. Well, yeah, he's a big dog. Beckel and the center have been pleading with the public to avoid any aggression and violence towards the escapees. Okay, Matt's safe call for the day. Don't taunt Gigantor. All right, good call. He's hurt, he's scared, he has no idea where he is, Beckel says of Gigantor. Yeah, that's not a good name for this story. I'm just going to say, it's not a good name for the story. Saying people shouldn't approach or chase him. Please don't shoot him. Just call us and tell us the location you saw Gigantor and then continue your day. The Wildlife Center is asking for anyone in the area to keep an eye out for the remaining wolf. Report it by calling. There's a number. I'll put up the story a little bit later on social media or even sending a Facebook message. How the Wildlife Center said, which is a research, education, and conservation facility, said the incident appears linked to recent births. Iris, one of the center's most well-known wolves, lost her longtime mate, Chief, just when breeding season was starting. And so, well, you know, they went a strolling. Gigantor was looking for love. Yeah, that's the only thing that story is missing is Gigantor roaming the streets looking for love. Good luck, kids. You know, I'd you know, make sure you enjoy Stacy, beautiful Stacy. Watch out for Gigantor. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to touch on something. This is one of those stories. Yes, there's a lot of political stuff that goes on and stuff like this. Can I just say, I think one of the reasons why I had this health crisis, and I'm dead serious when I say this, is God, what a year of news. What a year of news. I was talking to my wife about it, and I said, you know, I don't think it's really a surprise that I kind of started going downhill in health after the guilty verdict on Derek Chauvin, because it had just been so stressful in the pandemic. I got vaccinated and just the end of the Trump administration, just blah, everything kind of blah. And it's kind of gives you, you know, a bit of perspective that as you come back, because you kind of get pretty knee deep into the whole medical thing. And I talked in the first hour about the hospital stay and the fine work that the people there, the nurses, doctors, everyone did over there. But there's an element of our society that we do not talk about that I think we do need to talk a little bit about. And it is, once again, it's not a news story per se. It's just an observation I made. And it has to do with pharmacies. Now, I don't have any problem saying this. I don't. So we get the hospital, starting one of those things. You need medicine. They say, well, where do you want your prescription sent? And you all have your fairly your reliable pharmacy. They send them on over to the pharmacy. The pharmacy we had used, and I'm using the term had because after yesterday, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go back there. Is one of the Target ones. And I'm going to say, it is really disappointing how badly that place got managed. And I say this because this is an important element of our healthcare system. The distribution of the medication that's needed to the people who have been injured or are recovering, they need to get that medication. And it's something which we used to, we used to care much more about our pharmacists. They used to be much more of a revered position than they are today. Today, it is a travesty how we treat them. Now, not all pharmacies are the same. Not all Target pharmacies are the same. I'll be the first to say that. But in this day and age, it is wildly disappointing to have the experience that I had yesterday happen. Now, I'm going to share a little bit of other private information with you. We had a spectacular week last week, my family, because not only did I was going through my health crisis, but my youngest daughter tore her ACL in a soccer game. I know. And yesterday she had surgery. She's doing great. It's painful, but she's doing okay. I also had another child get into a minor fender bender car crash. Yeah, it was just the cherry on that sundae. Delicious. Anywho, so here I am. I am coming out of I was coming out of my own health problems. My wife spends the day at with the surgery of my daughter yesterday. She said, "Can you go over, pick up the prescriptions?" Can do. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, when were they called in? Well, they said that, where she was at. She said, well, the nurses said they called them in 2 hours ago. Okay, no problem. Should be there. Should be fine. So I head on over to the pharmacy, and I go to get the drugs. Now, first of all, there is I'm going to guess, 12-person line waiting to get at the pharmacy. Now, part of that is vaccinations. This pharmacy was doing some vaccinations. But it was obviously a long line. And I get up to the front. And I'm saying to myself, okay, here's my daughter's name. You're going to need these prescriptions. She's having surgery today. I need these now. They've been called in. At least that's what we've been told. And they look at me and they said, well, we don't have them. And I look at them and said, you don't have them. Do you have them or just not filled them or do you not have them? And the one guy comes up and says, here's the deal. We probably have it. We are swamped. You'll have to wait. And I say, well, I don't really have any other option. I need to have this medication. My daughter has had surgery. Mm-hmm. So I proceed to, grab a NUS magazine, because I got to keep up on the trends. No, actually, I just sat there and played Angry Birds. But I sat down with a cart and I waited. Now, I got to the pharmacy at about 3:45. I finally left the parking lot at 5:40 that afternoon, nearly 2 hours later. Now, I know I'm not going to respond, and I made a comment about this last night. I made a comment about this last night on social media, but I'm not going to respond to the clear, hey, let's put that frown upside down crap public service. Hey, let's try to fix this. No, because for 2 hours, I saw a staff working their asses off. I don't know what you were paying those people, but I'm going to guess you need to double it. Every person working in that pharmacy was working their butts off. I can tell you what the problem with your pharmacy is. The problem with your pharmacy is you're not paying your people and you're not staffing it correctly because you want to cut the corners and you want to save a few freaking dollars. And the reality is you pissed me off. And you pissed off a lot of people. There are a lot of people waiting for medications because your overwhelmed pharmacy can't handle it because the profit numbers are more important than actually getting quality people. Or You've got the quality people. But giving them a quality paycheck and get them the quality staffing. This is a problem we do not talk about enough. As these people bellyache about, why don't people want to come work for $8 an hour anymore? Because you're breaking them. You're breaking them at $15, $16. I'm dead serious. The pharmacists and the employees of that pharmacy worked their butts off. They were flying. They were doing everything they could. They were trying desperately to stay on top of things. And they did not have the help or support from anyone in that corporate structure to help them out. I am done with you. Because I can tell you right now, I know other pharmacies that does not happen. And so I'm done with you. But you see, this is a sign of the failure of America. Because you know what? If you are that busy, if you've got 12 deep, if you are 2.5, 3 hours behind on getting prescriptions filled, that people are coming into the store to get the prescriptions, doesn't that give you a freaking little bit of a sign that maybe, just maybe, you should put out the for sale, the now hiring sign? And maybe, just maybe, instead of sitting there and nickel and diming these people and trying to give them a quarter and saying you're giving them $1 million, maybe you should go on out there and actually pay them a livable wage to where you actually have a full staff in there and you're treating it like, a pharmacy. And this is not the only one. I heard back from other friends around other places. And once again, I will say this. Sounds like it's mainly a metro area thing, which is not a big surprise. I mean, like I said, this is not necessarily all, if this was a Target pharmacy, this is not necessarily all Target pharmacies. My parents, occasionally when we were up north, they'd stop by and buy one. There was never a problem. But they also don't have the customer load. The problem here is not the worker. The problem here is the employer. The problem here is a lack of staff. The problem here is a lack of good wages. Because you know what? Every person in that pharmacy deserves to get a major raise. From the 2 hours I sat and watched them work and do the best that they could, Everyone in that place deserves a major raise. But the question is are you going to give it to them? Or are you just going to, yeah, we'll give you a $5 gift card for Capri Sun. No, you lost me. Because you know what? Until you show me as a company, you care about the human beings that you employ and the human beings that you're servicing, and you're not requiring people who need, once again, this was not my medication. It was my daughter's medication. And I wanted to be home when she came home from surgery. You know what? I wasn't. And you know why? Because I was waiting in a freaking pharmacy. And my wife, who had been stressed out all day long, I wanted to go home. I wanted to make dinner for them so they didn't have to worry about that. Did I? No. You know why? Because I was sitting in a freaking pharmacy. Because of your crap staffing and your crap pay. And that's a fact. We only have a good enough system that works if the system is designed to work correctly. I'm very grateful when I actually was discharged from the hospital last week that the nurses looked at me and said, don't even try to go to the pharmacy. I can already tell you they're probably not going to have it. And she said, they're not going to have it ready even if we call it in 2 hours early. This is the nurse in the hospital. We'll have the in-house pharmacy fill this. You just go downstairs, okay? And I said, okay, fine. And I did. And I got my medications. And you know what? It was pretty dang quick. So maybe the question is this. Should you even be doing that? If you're treating that like it's a fast food restaurant or a coffee shop, if you're treating pharmaceuticals like it's the lowest common denominator within your establishment, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But the reality is it's very eye-opening to see where the failure here is. And the failure, once again, in our system is not the worker. It's not the doctor. It's not the nurses. It's not the assistants. It's not the transportation. It's not the pharmacist, and it's not the pharmacy's employees. It's the management. And the management is failing all of us right now in this country. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, that's the thing. I mean, people wonder, is like, well, why can't you find good employees? Why can't you go do this? Are you paying them? Are you staffing them correctly? It's interesting because I talked to my daughter about, one of my daughters is getting ready to try to get another job, and we talk about where she's going to go work, and I can look, and I was like, you don't want to go work here. I can already look. You walk in the door, they're already flying around. It's you can just kind of tell. And it's not just like a lunch rush or just a busy time. You can tell that the place itself is not running very well. And, you know, I mean, to sit there and watch person after person after person come on up that unless their prescription was called in 3 days, 4 days earlier, it wasn't ready. Not because of the employees, but because of the crap staffing. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm done. And, you know, it's basically, I'm sure there's some corporate executive out there who's saying, I don't care. I've got my gold-plated jet ski. I've got my 14th vacation cabin. Screw you all. I got what I want. Boom. I have no doubt. I have no doubt about that. But the reality is quite literally is the final linchpin in the medical process. And it just does not get done. It just does not get done. We'll take a break right now. Let's actually go into the break a little bit early. Right now. I'm caught up. I rant sometimes. So we'll go to the break. When I come on back, Minnesota coronavirus update. Also, your phone calls. I got a few calls coming in. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. One thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned, we're going to get into the Minnesota coronavirus update, but I want to make sure I put this out. And this I thought was an interesting post from June 1st. The total deaths in the United States, 609,777. These are probably undercounted too. India is still listed at 332,664. Brazil, which is probably undercounted, I'm going to be honest there. They're actually thinking it's much higher there. But Brazil, 462. France, 109. Turkey, 47. Russia, 121. The United States, once again, 34 million cases of coronavirus and 609. I want to remind everyone, the second this started to happen in this country, the first response from pretty much Trump, all the Republicans in this country, was the same thing. Thank God Donald Trump's in charge. It would be so much worse. It's almost impossible with the medical setup we have in this country that you could actually do worse than Donald Trump did. And I want to remind that, because that was part of the narrative that they, and they still push this narrative that Donald Trump took care of this. The reality is 34 million people got sick in this country because of Donald Trump. Over a tenth of the population is sick thanks to Donald Trump. And 609,770 deaths, these deaths, Donald Trump has his fingers all over them because he didn't take it seriously. He was the absolute, a vindictive, evil jackass is the worst person to have in power when you have a crisis of this magnitude. 952-946-6205. Minnesota reported the positivity rate of COVID-19 testing has dropped to 3.4%, nearing a record low as vaccination progress reduces spread of the coronavirus that causes the infectious disease. Wednesday marked the first day since last summer with four of the five key pandemic measures drop below Minnesota's high-risk thresholds, with the new daily infection rate declining to less than 10 per 100,000 people for the first time since July 8th, and the hospitalization rate receding to levels last seen in March before the latest wave of viral spread. Thank you very much, Governor Walz. Thank you very much, President Joe Biden. State health officials said vaccination has limited transmission to the virus, with nearly 3 million Minnesotans 12 and older receiving at least some vaccine, more than 2.6 million of them completing the one or two dose series. Children 12 to 15 only received access to mid-May, and already 27% of the received shots. Nearly 65% of Minnesotans 16 and older have received doses, bringing the state closer to a goal of vaccinating 70% of that population. Roughly 2,000 new vaccine recipients applied online Tuesday for state vaccination incentives. About half opted for the $25 Visa gift card. Well, free passes to Valley Fair, the Minnesota State Fair, and Minnesota State Parks were also popular. The Parks one, by the way. Can I tell you that Parks one, that's a year. That's gold. That Parks one is gold. Well, until the Republicans shut down all the parks because they're bitter, angry little twits. But, I mean, you know, you get my point. But that's gold. Incentives available to 100,000 people who are newly vaccinated between May 29th or 27th and June 30th. Nearly 90% of the senior citizens in Minnesota have received vaccines. Salute. Greatest generation indeed. A vulnerable group that has suffered 88% of the state's 7,427 COVID deaths. The state reported no COVID deaths on Wednesday. Yay. Only 128 more infections, bringing the total known infections of the pandemic to 601,645. That is over 10% of the population of the state as well. The latest positivity rate reflected tests in 7 days, ending on May 23rd, key measure of the viral spread in Minnesota. So some good news there. Citing an uptick of the COVID-19 vaccination across Minnesota, Mayor Jacob Frey on Tuesday ended the city's year-long face mask requirement. I don't need to tell you that. The reason why is because every person on social media praised it. St. Paul quickly followed suit late in the day, saying it would officially end its mandate on Wednesday, We're yet to reach the benchmark set by local public health experts. The reality of maskless Minnesota limits the logic and the efficiency of maintaining a mask order alone, said St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter. So some good news there. Brad is in Robbinsdale. He wanted to chime in a little bit about General Flynn. We talked about that with Stein a little bit earlier. Brad, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Back to active duty. And I think he should be put in command of Space Force's next mission to colonize Venus and take Jared Kushner with him.
Okay. thanks, Brad. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. There we go. Sorry about that, Brad. We'll try a little bit better the next time, all right? Frey imposed the indoor mask mandate in Minneapolis last spring. 2 months ago, Governor Walz issued a statewide mask order. Frey said the change was made because 78.6% of the city residents, 15 and older, have received at least one vaccination dose. Certainly helped control spread of the data, has shown how effective masks can be able to this time. Frey said we're getting close to that 80%. We can plan to lift the mask mandate. Walz ended the statewide mask mandate on May 14th, shortly after the Centers for Disease Control Prevention recommended full vaccination. I will say, and just FYI, if you do go to a hospital, the rule there is just one person. It still is pretty strict, at least at Methodist. One person could visit once per day. So like if my wife came to visit, if she came to visit at 10 but then left, she could not come back again that day. And so I, you know, basically it was kind of nice. My kids pulled out. There's a parking lot off of Excelsior Boulevard that I could see from my window, and they pulled over and they were able to sit there, and we waved at each other through the window like some sort of kind of 1980s, you know, dystopian, you know, movie, for goodness sakes. There are some serious rules. And of course, if you're in the hospital, you have to have a mask on. I had my mask on yesterday when I went into the store, even though it didn't look like I had to. And the reason why is I just came into the hospital myself. But you know, I'm going to be in the pharmacy. I'm going to presume I'm going to be around some people that you know, probably, you know, not feeling the best. So I didn't have a problem with that. So far, I haven't had anyone really come up to me and say, why are you wearing a mask? I haven't done that. But I'm going to guess it's going to happen at some point. I'm feeling pretty good. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to bring a mask with me. I'm going to the fair. I'm going to the state fair. For goodness sakes, I'm going to the state fair. When it'll be interesting when I'm out there how I'll have the mask with me. I can see myself like over by the DNR booth or even in the midway, or not maybe in the midway, but that area right outside the midway where the French fry guy is on the outside there, how busy that is. I can see myself having a mask on at that point. You know, you get up on Machinery Hill, you get up towards, you know, towards the top up there by the pets and all that stuff. That's pretty light up there. You probably don't need it, but you know, if I'm going to like the fine arts building when they're doing the judging, that place is packed. I'm going to be hard-pressed to not have a mask on. And I don't mind. I trust the science. I trust the fact that we've had one of the lowest flu seasons in the history of this country in the last year because everyone was wearing masks with coronavirus. Different kind of, you know, the coronavirus, different kind of thing. But the flu, the seasonal flu, we did not have a really bad outbreak. Why? Because everyone was wearing masks. See how simple that goes? 952-946-6205. Two other bits of other news I want to make sure I get to here before the next break. First of all, Derek Chauvin's defense attorney, Eric Nelson, is asking for a downward sentencing departure from Judge Peter Kahle. Now, I will say this, and this is one of the things that's hard. These defense attorneys are posting everything. The entire trial needs to be thrown out. This was a joke. Apparently, one of the witnesses was wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt underneath another shirt, and that should have been a cause for a mistrial. That was one of them I saw. I mean, it's you're reaching at that point. I'm pretty sure I would consider that reaching. But at the same time, come on. Needless to say, it still is frustrating to watch. Derek Chauvin's attorney, but this is what defense attorneys do. According to court documents, the defense argues the requisite substantial and compelling circumstances for a downward dispositional departure are present in the case in Derek Chauvin and urges this court to grant its motions and impose probationary sentencing, limiting his incarceration to time served, or in the alternative, downward duration departure in crafting a sentence for Mr. Chauvin. Chauvin's sentencing is scheduled for June 25th. Some legal experts expect Chauvin looking to be 25 to 30 years. The maximum is 40, and he wants probation. No. I understand you're going to try to get your client off, but come on, probation? He just found guilty of murder. He murdered him. Probation? It's disturbing, isn't it? It is. It's just disturbing. Also mentioning layoff notices, this, of course, part of the deal. I've tried to talk to some people about what's going on in regards to the negotiations with the budget deal. There's not a lot of words out there. I will say this. Here's what I'm hearing. One bit I'm hearing is the Republicans have basically taken the stance of it's our way or the highway, that they're not going to cave, they're not going to compromise, that unless the Democrats do everything that they say, there won't be a budget, and they'll just shut down the state and just be done with it. And I think what you're looking at is the idea that these people, they know their followers. Republicans know their voters will always forgive them. They will. I mean, it's tough for Democrats because the Democrats, you know, like will, you know, they'll say, well, you'd better cave on clean cars or we're not going to have an environmental bill. And Democrats will be like, well, I guess, well, I want to have an environmental bill. They're holding a gun to their own head. I better save them. And so they get rid of the clean cars. And not one single Republican voter is going to say, well, thank God the Democrats caved to that irrational stance. No, every Republican voter will look at the Republican and saying, that's that tough guy stance I voted for. He got them to cave. I love him for it. And that's why I am very specific that the Democrats do not cave on a lot of these issues. Do not save the Republicans from themselves, because you have to play this out. Bill Ingebrigtsen, the Senate blockhead that basically wants to stop the environmental bill, he wants to shut down the state parks. Let him, because the state parks are mostly in Republican districts and are major money makers for those local communities. And when the Republicans in that Republican district say, you know, gee willikers, I'm not a biggest fan of clean cars necessarily, but I want the park back open. Trust me, Ingebrigtsen will be sprinting up to St. Paul with the bill saying, we'll tolerate clean cars, just sign the bill. You got to call their bluff. And sometimes, and part of the problem is there's just too many people on the Democratic side who are, you know, the Republicans work them. One Republican will come on over and it's like, hey, you know, you and I don't disagree too much on things. Why don't you just talk these guys into caving on this one issue? And you cave on that one issue, and then you and I will be BFFs forever. We'll play on the park together. I'll let you share my ball. It will be the best. Come on, Democrats. It will be swell. And the other Democrats are like, well, it's just one little thing. And what they don't realize is the Republicans are working every other member of that committee trying to get them to compromise too. And so by the end, what it is, well, I'm willing to make this one compromise. Well, but they've convinced other Democrats to make compromises as well. And then all of a sudden, the Republicans get most of what they want. Democrats get hardly what they want. And when it comes to playtime on the park, they don't want to share their ball with you because they were lying to you. They don't like you. They're just playing you for fools. So stop it. So here's the deal. Call their bluff. Shut down that. I mean, it's easy for me to say it. This is a bunch of Republicans. They're basically trying to win they're trying to win statewide races next year by sabotaging the state. And it's not the Democrats' jobs to save the Republicans from themselves. It's not. So they want to drive the car off the cliff. Let them drive the car off the cliff. As hard as that is, That's when, because that's the only way the Republican voter will come back to them and say, you know what? You're screwed up. You overplayed your hand. You need to get these parks back open. And then all of a sudden, all those Republicans who are really bullying the Democrats are, gee willikers, golly gosh, why did the Democrats make us have to go to such extremes? Okay, fine. I guess we'll compromise on the issue that even shouldn't even be part of the negotiation. But I guess we'll compromise. Fine, let them. But it's their tarnish that they'll have. So don't do these guys any favors. Layoff notices went out more than 38,000 state employees over the holiday weekend as officials prepare for the possibility of government shutdown. Governor Walz and leaders in Minnesota divided legislators say the notices are hopefully just a formality as they continue to work behind the scenes to finalize the state's $52 billion two-year budget. And a handful of major sticking points remain unresolved and work has progressed slower than anticipated, well, because the Republicans are sticking their heels into the ground. Lawmakers are constitutionally required to pass a balanced budget before July 1st or the state services begin to shut down. Doesn't feel like a necessary formality to the 40,000 folks who received these notices while they are relaxing with their families after a stressful year, said Megan Dayton, president of the Minnesota Alliance of Professional Employees. It's really insulting to the public servants of the people who have dedicated their entire career to public service during the pandemic. They've been working nonstop. Reminder, I want to make sure you understand this. It's because the Republicans do not care. First of all, they get rid of your union in a heartbeat, but they would fire all you guys in a heartbeat if they thought they could replace you with $5 an hour people. So they do not care. And that's where this goes. You got to look at the cause. The cause is the Republicans. The Democrats are trying to do things the right way. Walz and leaders struck a broad budget deal on the final day of the session and have been working mostly in private to finalize the details ahead of the likely mid-June special session. Do not cave on clean cars. Do not cave on any of this stuff, especially the crap that they're bringing out of left field that has nothing to do with any of the bills. Do not cave. Find a spine, guys. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. A quick update on Umbrella Man. I saw that one with Dina Winter and the Reformer. We'll get to that in a second. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, big salute. Native Roots Radio coming up here at 6 o'clock tonight. If you're not listening, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's a sensational show. It's the only show I know of that talks about Native American issues, and it talks about them in depth, and they do a great job there. Congrats to Robert Pilot, our good friend over there. Ho-Chunk election results. Looks like he's a winner. Nicely done, Robert. Congratulations on the victory, my friend. I'm glad to see that they're well represented. You're a leader. You're a far better leader than I am. You are a leader of the times. I'm glad you're there, for goodness sakes. Nicely done. Listen, 6 o'clock weeknights right here on AM 950. A man dubbed the Umbrella Man about a year ago, a man dressed as black carrying an umbrella. We talked about this extensively during the problems after George Floyd. We talked about that extensively. There's a guy there with an umbrella and a face mask who, you know, and I want to give Dina Winter over at Reformer a little credit. She says, about a year ago, a man dressed all in black and carrying an umbrella was pictured in a video smashing windows in South Minneapolis AutoZone store amid the demonstrations of George Floyd. The righteous online citizenry accused him of inciting looting and violence and sought to determine his identity and out him. Now, I want to say this. We have the video of him saying free stuff, breaking the windows. This was the guy that started all the violence. Umbrella guy was the guy that started everything, and things went downhill from there. So it's not a accused him. We've got him on tape. Seeing him smash the windows and you know, and that was by design. About 2 months after the AutoZone incident, a suspect's name was unmasked by a search warrant, which led to a brief blizzard of news coverage. But nobody's been arrested or charged since then. That includes the 33-year-old rural Minnesota man who was identified on July 27th search warrant application seeking his cell phone records. The warrant was granted, but the Reformer is not identifying the man because he's not been charged. In the search warrant records, Minneapolis police investigator Erica Christensen said authorities were tipped off of the man's identity. In addition to the eponymous umbrella, he wore a gas mask, was recorded using a small sledgehammer to break AutoZone's windows. He was believed to have spray-painted free blank for everyone zone. So, I mean, that's encouraging looting. He's doing damage. A video of the Umbrella Man window smashing was posted on social media and went viral. AutoZone was set on fire, among the first of a string of arson and looting incidents that spread across the metro. More than 1,000 Minneapolis buildings were burned or damaged, but criminal charges have been filed in connection with just 11 of the cases. And the man whose cell phone records were sought is said to be a member of the Hells Angels motorcycle gang, known associate of the Aryan Cowboys white supremacist prison gang based in Minnesota and Kentucky. He was photographed with a group wearing Aryan Cowboy leather vests in Stillwater harassing Muslim women June 27th of last year, according to the search warrant. The search warrant sought the suspect's cell phone activity, cell phone tower pings on the day of the AutoZone incident. The man, who has a lengthy criminal history, did not return a call seeking comment. Minneapolis police spokesman John Elder says it remains an open case, is still being investigated, and could not comment on whether the man listed in the search warrant is a suspect. The investigator has not authorized the release of information on the case, says Elder via an email. Here's what I'll say. Once again, that's Dina Winter over at the Minnesota Reformer. Here's what I'll say. To my knowledge, it doesn't sound like they've rescinded the search warrant against him. I don't hear anyone saying he is not a suspect as the Umbrella Man. The question is whether they have the connecting evidence to do that, and I don't know if they do. It doesn't sound like they do. I don't think they're on the wrong path. I mean, it sounded like this was something that when the story initially broke, there was it seemed like there was some pretty solid evidence against the individual. Needless to say, this is, once again, I want to remind people, do you remember those Republicans? You know, Republicans, funny. Yeah. Oh, those people in Minneapolis. It's those people in Minneapolis. It's those, and let's be honest, what are a lot of Republicans really saying? It's those black people in Minneapolis, right? Well, not so much. It's a white member of the Aryan Cowboys, Hell's Angels motorcycle gang, from outside of Minneapolis, who came in, or at least that's the allegation being made here. It's not saying he did, just saying that's the allegation that's being made. But this is the guy they're investigating, who would not be black or from the city. Anyway, we'll remain to see. I mean, this could just be an innocent member of the Aryan Cowboys and Hell's Angels. It could be just a coincidence. Could just be some guy. That's what it could be. Needless to say, they'll be interesting to see if there's going to be more investigation into that. It'd be nice to see Joe Biden's DOJ get involved in that. Maybe see if they can track down the more information about that. But needless to say, it's an allegation. But if its allegation is true, once again, not a black guy from Minneapolis. It's another white guy from nowhere near the city. All right. Thank you very much to, once again, a lot of people saying well wishes. I appreciate it. It's nice to be back. We are back the rest of this week. Coming up here in just about a few minutes, make sure you're with us, is Native Roots Radio. Have a good one. We are back on a Thursday, likely with Sven Sundgaard. Till then, see you.